I don't know about you, but how many people, it seems like every time I get to the first Sunday of a new year, I always want to think about last year. And I know that many times we leave a year, we leave it because we feel like there were so many terrible things, negative things. You know, some people are ready to run away from 2021. You know, I want to get past it. I'm glad it's over. Push it aside. Forget about it. It wasn't what I wanted. Things didn't work out the way I thought they would. And all those kind of things. But, you know, recently I've come to about that about every year. It's been about the start of each one of these years. I'm kind of glad some things are done. There's some things are in the past and some things, you know, that. But God has given us a new year. God has granted to us the new year. The Apostle Paul gave us the scripture passage that we all probably can quote it in such a wonderful way, Romans 8:28, that all things do what? How is they that they work together? Can y'all read? I mean, it's not like it's right in front of you. What does it say? Work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose? I hope that you are, because there's going to be all kinds of challenges. We faced them last year, whether we wanted to or not. There's new ones coming, different than we've seen ever before. There'll be changes that are going to be made, some that are very, very necessary, and some that are really going to shake our world. How many times, though, have we really looked at it and said, well, what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. You know? Anybody? I knew when Brother Carr left, he took the crystal ball with him. And I have no idea. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I've been shocked what's happened up to this point in the last couple years to see how America has changed, the things that have gone on. Well, what's the final result? I don't know. I don't know how we're going to stand as a nation. I don't know what we're going to do about things that we have no control over. So what am I worried about it? Honestly, I'm not. I'm not. There's nothing I can do with it. You can ask me, well, what kind of world will remain? I don't know. All I know is that the world that I live in, I'm just here, okay? But it's not the one that surrounds me. It's not the one that controls me. You know, in reality, I think every one of us, if we're honest, we're ignorant of the future. You can be ignorant of it nationally. I don't know where this group is taking us right now. It's not a place I want to go. I know that. But I don't know exactly where it's going. But there's one thing that I guess I might be ignorant of it, and hopefully you're not individually. Where are you going? What are you going to do? How is your life going to shape your world? What is it that makes everything work out for you personally? Not for your neighbor, not your kids, not anybody else, but you individually. You see, we have a new year. Now, that may be a new year of laughter, maybe a new year of tears. Last night it was a new year of shouting at the TV. Yeah, and we did it till 11:30 something, 11:45, and you know, then we got text after that. I just texted people, said sick and bears. Then I forgot that one of them was on the East Coast and they're probably in bed. That's good for them. They call me all the time like that. So that's what it is. It may be pain. That's what may be ahead of us. Or it may be pleasure. It may be any one of those kind of things. All I know is that there's clouds there of uncertainty. The uncertainty that we don't know, and they're everywhere. Everywhere that we turn, there's going to be something that comes along. But not everything is guesswork. Not everything is chance. There are some things that you can lay your hands upon and you can walk that path with assurance that somebody's taking care of it. There are solid convictions that we can stand on, that you can lean on. You feel frail, you feel like I can't do anything. Well, I can tell you right now, there's something there. That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What is love? What kind of love do you have? You know, the Apostle Paul was so wise about this. He couldn't tell you. God didn't give him a roadmap of tomorrow. He didn't have a crystal ball. It was an unknown thing. There was no blueprint that you follow this and you do this. But he had one thing that every one of us need, and that is called blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. That's the thing that we need. The absolute confidence that God was directing his life, that he was doing what he said. We know. And he said, not only do I know, but we know. He's saying to everybody, we know that. What? To them that love God, all things work together for the good. Now, was he just being stupid? How do you know that? How do we know that? Well, I think if you look at his life, I think that life taught him that. I think that his life taught him that no matter what came his way, that he knew that God was directing. Yeah, look at the negative side of it, if you will. I mean, we're real good at looking at all the things that are negative. Not everything that comes along in life is good, is it? I mean, not everything that comes along. We've got a loving God, and he does good things all the time. Is that not right? He's a loving God, but he never ever said that everything was going to be good. Things that happen are not always good. I mean, look what we're suffering from right now. I mean, go over to China to see if we can get another plague put on the world. There are times I wish Pollyanna deal, you know, they always say, always look at the good side. Yeah. I heard a story about a lady and her husband had two twin boys. They lived down around College Station. They lived on a farm, and one of the boys was just an eternal pessimist. I mean, everything about this little boy was always negative, always frowning. And the other one just happy as could be. Nothing ever bothered him. Everything was, and they were very concerned. Were they concerned about the one that was negative? No, they were concerned about the one that was always positive. And so they went to a psychologist. And the psychologist recommended, it was right at Christmas time, and you see, he recommended that you do this experiment with those two boys. He said, the one that's really negative, I want you to fill his whole room full of presents. All the best things, all the latest gadgets, everything that the boy wants. And the one that is so positive and is so happy, nothing ever, I want you to fill it full of horse manure. Well, they are from College Station. So they did it. And the one little boy went in there and he's looking at all the presents that are in his room and he goes, how many are here? Don't say that. And the other one, you could hear all of a sudden, you heard this thrashing around and things hitting the wall and all this kind of stuff. They opened the door and there's that little boy in there with a shovel, shoveling the horse manure everywhere. And he said, what are you doing? He said, I know there's got to be a pony somewhere. You see, if you look at the way that God has ordained our lives, there are negative things. That's reality. And we cannot separate ourselves. In fact, it'd be unrealistic if we thought that everything worked out good. You can shut your eyes. You can think, oh, well, it's all going to be great. I'm going to trust everybody. Bull. There's sin, there's sickness, there's evil in the world today. It's here. There's no way to get around it. What do you do with it? What was Paul saying to us? that there's no such thing as sin? There's no such thing as evil? I mean, I'm sorry, take a tour of America, for crying out loud. Take a tour of Robinson. Look around, wait, go see what you see. Look at yourselves. Look at your own personal lives to see that there are things that take place, that they're personal. There are personal tragedies in every one of our families. All of those things that in some people, that just tears them apart. But the reality of it is, God is still on the throne. God is still taking care of us. And God's not asking me to believe that everything is good. I mean, I couldn't do it. I mean, there's just no way. Jesus was very clear-eyed when he looked upon his world, than when he walked upon this earth. And that is the Christ whose I am. He's the one that I am seeking to serve. He's the one that I always... And when he said there was sin, it was a fact, I knew that it was a fact. I didn't have to guess about it. All I have to do is face it. And we need to face it. We don't need to hide our eyes. We don't need to stick our head in the sand. We don't need to do any one of those things. Everything that's good, but not everything is good. And if everything is good for you, not every good thing brings good results. You can do wonderful things. You can do. How many times have you said, well, I did the best that I could and everything was great and didn't turn out good? Well, that's the world we live in. Satan still has a way with getting some things done, and it just doesn't always. It sounds good. You think it's good, but experience says it doesn't work out that way every time. Some things that are good turns into a tragedy. How many of you enjoyed eating over Christmas? Did those extra little things that haven't gone away yet, may not go away for a couple months? Was it good? Yeah, it was great. All those candy and everything that you guys had, all the stuff that was made, it was all wonderful. But some blessings can turn into a curse. Especially, you know, some of you guys are stouting around here, remember when there was a six-pack. Now it's a keg. Yeah, around your middle, exactly. How many times have people said, if I just had more money? You know, we came to the end of the year and we were, you know, we wanted to do this, we wanted to do that. If I just had more money. How many times does more money cause grief? If you got so much, you got to have more. Money's destroyed many people because I began to trust in money. I didn't trust in Christ. How many times has physical beauty done that? You know, people just, I just got to stay young. I got to stay young. For crying out loud, you're 85. I mean, I love Bob Hope. Bob Hope made the statement one time. He said when he turned 80, he said, I got wrinkles that need to be ironed. He wasn't talking about his suit. He was talking about his birthday suit. You know, beauty is a wonderful gift. I mean, there's nothing small about that. It's absolutely fantastic. But sometimes it can become a liability. Sometimes people become vain. I mean, come on. Look at the Kardashians, for crying out loud. Well, don't look at them. Forget that. I didn't mean it. But there's been all kinds of people. Guys the same way, not just women. Guys are the same way. Conceited, got to keep this. I mean, you know, if you dye your hair, gentlemen, it's okay. I have no problem with that. It's a wonderful thing, you know. It really is. I'm just glad to have some hair. Amen. Success. Some things, you know, it's prosperous. That's wonderful. We all want to be successful in what we do. At least I hope you all want to be successful. Those are the things that we always look for. But when you're successful, say in business, sometimes you're bankrupt in your soul. You know, I've known some people that are Christians that started out in business and they did well. But then as they went further, they began to fall to the temptation that I have to do some things that are not quite above board to keep the success coming forth. So people see success and they fall in prey to doing things that were not right. You say, well, God should have slammed them down and shut them down. No, God says many times that, you know, you sow, you'll reap. It'll happen. And it did. And it does. So it's not always about the success that says comes out in business. You know, people become pampered. They become proud. Then all of a sudden they get crushed. And they get crushed under the very load. It's an avalanche of success that separates them from God. I mean, look at you guys. You're all successful. May not think that, but you are. You know, this is what God has provided. Paul is making a very clear statement that all things, whether they're good or they're bad, can be used to our good. All things that come, whether it's laughter, whether it's tears, whether it's sunshine or it's rain, all these things come about, whether it's your poverty or it's your wealth. Everything about this works together for good for them that love God. Now, what is love? I think Jesus gave us the clearest example of love. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's the kind of love Paul's talking about. He's not talking about some emotional deal. He's not talking about some lightweight little thing that you hear about all the time. To love God is to obey God. To love God is to submit to his will, to his purpose, to the things that he has, to walk with him, to live with him, to do the things that God wants us to do. That's what love really is. To those that do that kind of love, God said, I'll work out all things to your good. It may not be what you want. It may not be everything. So how do I know? This is what Paul had to say. How do you know? I don't know the future. I just know this. My faith is in the fact that he promised me he'd work out good, bad, indifferent to my good. Ultimately, it'll be to my good. Now, do you believe that or you don't believe it? Look at your life. Will it work out in your life? Will it work anywhere? Will it work everywhere? Will it work under certain circumstances? Will it work in your situation? Maybe I need to ask it that way. In your personal situation, you fill in the blanks, okay? Fill them in for yourself. Everybody knows what's going on in your own personal lives. I hope you do. Hope you're cognizant of all those kind of things. If it's not working for you in your personal life, I guess you can't believe it. Or maybe if it is working for you, you still got to come to the point and say, I guess it does work, right? Does it? Do all things work together for good in your life? Can you see that? It's either working or it's not working. Either you're getting it where it went. I think Paul was sharing a universal truth. And I think that truth is something that I know I believe it. I think it's reasonable because I know what God does. Now, do you think it's reasonable? Do you think what he's saying right here is something reasonable? Let me say example. Oh, I think it's reasonable because I think God is shielding everybody, all of his children. Has God been shielding you? Has everything been good? Everything's been wonderful? Everything's peachy in your personal lives? I said, God's not shielding me. God's not shielding my family. God's not doing all those kind of things. Why? Because that's not what God does. We all want to look around and say, well, oh, I know why. God has favorites. Hey, come on. I know some people that look at other people's lives and say, well, huh, You know, why is that? Jealousy. God's playing favorites. God does that all the time. Think about his disciples. Think about that small group of friends that he had. The ones that he loved. And they loved him. The ones that were loyal to him. That stuck with him all the time. I mean, think about what happened to them. What did he say when he prayed for them? He didn't pray that God would coddle them. He didn't pray that God would spare them. He didn't pray that God would shield them. He didn't show favor to them. What did he say? Father, keep them. That's what I want you to do. I want you to keep them. I don't want you to do anything more than that right there. I want you to keep them. I think you could say that every one of them outside of John was martyred. I think it's really true for the cause of Christ. And John, poor old John, all he got was boiled in oil. Didn't kill him, though. You know, I really think you look at the life of the Apostle Paul. One preacher made the statement that said, if Paul had to enter into heaven backwards, all they'd have to do is look at all the beatings and the stripes on his back, they'd know who he was. I think it's true. Because he suffered for the cause of Christ. He took on all of those things. So does it work? Does it work for you? I can tell you this, it's not because God has favorites. Because he doesn't. That it all comes one way or the other. We're going to face it. It's going to come my way. It's going to happen. God said, I love those in spite of everything else. My love continues. Did he not say that God, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust? The sun does it not shine? It shines on everybody, whether you're good or you're bad. It comes our way. But what does it bring to me? What does it really, truly bring to me? It brings to me one thing that I can think of all the time. God's going to shine on people. God's going to watch people that stand up and say, I believe in God. That's the first thing. I truly see it right there. The man who loves God stands up to life. We do. We just stand up to it. I believe it's God's will that these things came my way. I don't believe that it just happenstance. I believe in God's sovereignty. It came my way. It was conflict that came to me, but God said, I will make it conquest. I will make something out of it. Why do I know that? Because God is on my side. He's my ally. He's my friend. He's all of those things to me. The power of the Almighty sits upon every believer and every man's life and every woman's life. If you believe that, then no matter what happens, God is going to stand with you. I don't care who your opposition is. This is what God does. So what good is it? What good is it in your life today? What is God wanting to do in 2022 in your personal life? I can tell you this. Nobody has to be a victim today. Don't play your victim to me. I'm not interested in your victim card. I'm interested in your victory card. We don't have to be victims. That is something that is a lie of Satan. I don't have time for your pity party. I think I will be commiserate with you. If bad things come your way, I will pray for you. I will do all those things. But if you jump on the pity party, this boy's off the boat. Because I'm not interested in that. God is not interested in a pity party. I'm not interested in you blaming everybody but yourself. How many people we get around people all the time. Well, if they would have done this, if they would have done this, what have you done? How do you see life? Well, this all stacked against me. Really? Everything stacked against you. I don't believe that either. I believe that God allows things to come. God let me down. I wonder how many times I let God down. I look around here and I see people and I say, you're crying about this? Look what they faced. Look what they've walked through. and you're telling me how bad you've got it? Spend a little time visiting among, just among this group. And you can, every one of us can tell that somebody else has had it harder. Somebody else has suffered more. Somebody else has gone physically or emotionally or mentally. We've all gone through things that nobody else wants. If you have cancer, keep it. I don't want it, okay? I'm not interested. And when I get it one day, maybe, I'm not going to give it to you. Not like a bad cold. Not something I want to share. In Acts, you remember the story about Peter's in jail, right? In prison. The angel said, he's asleep. Now that is somebody to trust God. You know, sound like some of y'all in here in church. But the angel, the Bible says angel smote Peter. It didn't say that he smote the chains. It said he smote Peter, all right? And the chains fell off. That's what it says. Do you realize that the same angel later in that same chapter smote Herod? And what happened to him? Worms ate him. So one man got smote by that angel, and he got freedom. The other got smote by an angel, and he was destroyed. Now, I guess it was the same angel. It was in the same chapter, the same thing. How is your angel working for you? What does God have in mind for you? How many of you guys are really willing to turn your circumstances to your advantage? You know how many times, if you've gone walked through hard times, how you can help somebody else with that? How you can share what God has allowed you to walk through so that it blesses somebody else's life? I mean, if you can't see the victory in that, you just never will see victory. If you can't see what God's trying to do, maybe you just need to have your eyes opened. Maybe you need, as we are reading in Revelation chapter 3 about the eye salve that was developed. Why did God give us eye salve? So it opens your eyes. So you can see what God is really trying to do. Tragedy can drive you closer to God if you allow it. Or you can blame God. God's whatever we want to do. I think tragedy many, many times draws us to Christ. Did not 9/11 do that for America? Did not we rally around people when bad things happened? I mean, why did they call one generation the Great Generation? Because they came together in the middle of war. And they stood up and said, this is what we are going to be. Last thing I have for you. It's something simple. Just live. Tough time, wasn't it? Just simply live. Live a life that believes in Christ. Live a life that puts your trust in Him. And by the best that you possibly can do, live God's life out. Live His will. Live His grace. Live all of those kind of... Thank Him for the trials. Thank Him for all the things that comes your way. Praise God for everything that He does. And then I think out of your experience, you will be living proof that God comes through. That all things do work for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. How about just trusting Him? How about just walking with Him? How about not giving up on what God said He would do? I think that's the way to begin any year. I think that's the way to end a year. I think that's the way you do it all the time throughout the year. You just simply have to continue to trust Him. I don't like what comes my way. I don't either. But I know this, that my faith has never had to change. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. You got Him. Trust Him. Let's pray.